If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Why, hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bravo East Coast Housewives. I am your main bitch, Kim. Hey, Yins guys, what's up? And, Yins guys, I have a special guest on the show today, which, by the way, technically right now it's November 12th, so we're going to talk about some big-ass news that just hit the streets on Instagram because we all know that I don't have Twitter, duh. But we have a special guest, and his name is Sean Ellis Rogers with the podcast The Real Reality Realness. Hi, how are you, my dear? Oh, also, too, let me just say, lock it while I clock it.
Yes.
Hi, how are you, my love?
How are you, darling? I am very, very well. Very nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. And by the way, Yins guys, I was just on his podcast. You have to check it out. Real Reality Realness. It is off the hook. You do it every single day, Monday through Friday, right?
Yes. Very talk show realness, but it's very like, well, I try to give like night show radio vibes, but I don't know if my voice is actually that sexy. So I just try to have good music.
I think it's very sexy.
Honey, well, thank you, darling.
Yes.
I do what I can.
And guess what, Yins guys? He talks about like all shit reality. I mean, I know that I'm just the Bravo bitch that just talks shit about our Bravo lovers, you know, but he's got it all. So just saying, you got to check out his stuff.
Yes, so, we talk about Bravo, everything from Bravo to WeTV.
Yes. I don't know about WeTV. And if we do, I don't know that. I'll have to check it out.
But they have some good stuff
real
over
reason,
there.
The real reason why we're all here is to talk about some Bravo bitches. First of all, did you hear the big news about our Roni bitch, Singer Stinger? Her Singer Stinger is out of her ass now. She is no longer on the show. Thoughts?
Listen. It's... You know, shout out to Lizzo, because it is about damn time. It really, truly is about damn time. Like, I'm not going to sit here, and as many problems as I have with Ramona, I'll admit that the woman is good TV. However, there is a line that is very thin between controversial and problematic. You and I have discussed this before.
Yes.
So, it's like... You know, she's had a great run, as they say.
Well, here's the thing. How about, okay, if you had to choose, and this is some big shit, Ramona or Kelly Dodd? I know.
Ramona.
That silence was for a reason. Ramona!
That was a very, like, I had to think very specifically, but I don't want to hold you up. Definitely Ramona.
Definitely Ramona.
Because Kelly Dodd is very specific and blatant. Like, she gives a face to the term selected outrage.
Yes.
And so, like, she's the type of person who just incites things for the sake of inciting things. Yes. Whereas Ramona, I feel like she genuinely does not intentionally do things the majority of the time. Now, there are times when I feel like she's trying to defend herself, and she may just choose the wrong line of defense. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like Ramona is intentionally problematic, where I feel like Kelly Dodd is problematic for a
on
check.
Purpose.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they're both gone, so there's that.
All's well that ends well.
All is well. Well, since we're on Roni, are you excited for the new one coming up with brand new gals?
Excited is a strong word.
So true.
I'm not. Listen, I'm trying not to put it down because I was not like a hardcore Roni fan. Like, I was not a stan of Roni. I appreciated Roni for what it was. I appreciated the vibe of Roni. I appreciated the uniqueness of that city. And sure. I loved Roni for very specific people. Like, I watched Roni during the Bethany years. I watched Roni during the Jill Zarin years. I watched Roni during the Carol Radziwill years. I watched Roni during the Dorinda years. Like, but it wasn't like I was watching all the way through.
Right.
On one hand, I am excited to have new faces, right? Mm-hmm. However, I have some issues and some questions that I need to take up with HR and casting.
Tell me.
Where the hell is Ebony?
Right.
Well, where the hell is Ebony?
I thought she didn't want to do it.
I haven't heard that specifically from her. So okay. If that is the case, then all's well that ends well. Now, if she said this on her podcast, then I felt like an asshole because I listened to almost every episode.
Right.
Shout out to Holden Court with Ebony Williams.
That's right. I was just going to say that.
Right. But I have not heard this, but I still question because I feel like the setup that the network and the production company did with her caused this all to happen in the first damn place.
Yeah.
So I feel like the least they could do for giving her a shitty setup, which subsequently caused a shitty season, which subsequently caused her not ever to even have a reunion based on some shit that was kind of solely blamed on her, even though the investigation that she was blamed for, which they say caused the splits of the show, there were two investigations that were already done on Ramona before she ever even filed hers that Ebony didn't even know about until after the show was already done with.
Fuck. That's insane. I didn't even know that. What the fuck is wrong with me, people?
Listen to Holding Court with Ebony Williams.
Oh my God.
Cause she laid it all out after Ramona cared her very specifically placed ass on Carlos King's podcast, telling her truth, I'll say, when it comes to the whole demise of Roni as they knew it, right? And so Ebony took to her platform and she gave her side. And
as she should, you know, that's crazy shit. I mean, that is really unfortunate. Ebony came into a season where it really was, I don't know, it was crazy on how everything happened. Mm-hmm. I fucking loved her. I thought she was great. I thought she was going to be like one of the new main bitches, right? I felt like, honestly, what they were trying to do is like bringing Leah in there because, right, she's younger, right? I thought that they wanted to get like a younger demographic in there. And then they brought in Ebony because she's friends with Leah. And I was like, oh, okay, so this is probably how they're going to work it out as far as like the older women will eventually want to like go and do their own thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that kind of shat in our faces, so to speak.
Yeah, see, listen, I can understand the thought process of that, but the people that were in place to execute that were not necessarily the right people, because I don't want Leah McSweeney anywhere near black people. No shade.
Ooh, tell me why. I'm curious.
I don't want Leah McSweeney anywhere near black people because I think that that entire second season of the show and her entire friendship with Ebony was
a fake?
1,000,000%.
Oh, for real?
And I'll tell you why. I've said this before on my podcast. I feel like Leah McSweeney used Ebony, the Black Lives Matter movement, and her experience as a black woman as a device to pin her castmates to something so bad that they would have to get fired off of the show.
Holy fuck.
I feel like her friendship with Ebony had nothing to do with them actually being friends. And as it came out, they were never actually friends. She was just the person that brought her onto the show, as so many of these friendships that are made for the show are. Very quotes.
Quotes, yes. Damn.
Y'all were friends.
Well, you know what? Hopefully, depending on these new gals, let's see if they're actually friends. They're all relatively in the same age group, I would say. But yeah, we'll have to see. I have a feeling, and I think I spoke to someone about this who was on my podcast a couple of weeks, months ago, whatever. I feel like they're doing the Roni to see if eventually they could do like the Real Girl. You know how they did Real Girlfriends of Paris? Did you watch that? I was not into it.
I didn't watch it, but I have heard good things.
You have?
I've heard decent things from the people who have watched it. Now I haven't heard a lot. I'll say that.
Yeah, me either. I'm not really into it. So I felt like the whole Roni thing is going to be... Yeah, I felt like Roni, the new Roni, was going to be, oh, maybe this could be Real Girlfriends of New York eventually in the future. Who knows? But
I have two minds about that because I do see how it could be kind of like a backdoor pilot through a whole new brand new crew of girls' eyes. It could be like a sister series to The Housewives. Mm-hmm. I have two minds about this new cast. One, I'm pissed because there's no Ebony. Yes. But I'm not going to be bitter and biased about it because I am also kind of glad that there is not a 100% like universally recognized face that I know going into the cast, right?
Yeah.
Because while I can appreciate shows that are built off of, well, we'll just say Beverly Hills because that's the one. Like... Because Atlanta tries to do it a little bit, but they don't really do it anymore. Like, they try to do it, and, like, they did it successfully a few years, and then Kim Fields happened. So, when it comes to Beverly Hills...
I liked her, believe it or not.
I liked her on the show. I just felt like the reason why she was there, she was on the wrong show. I felt like she should have just been on a different reality show. If she was going to not be 100% herself...
No, I feel you on that. That makes sense.
Because I was with Queen Latifah when she came on Watch What Happens Live and was like, I don't know what the hell Kim Fields y'all saw down to the Real Housewives of Atlanta because that was not Kim Fields. But okay, oh go off. I was with you because the Kim Fields I done heard about, I was excited. I was like, oh shit, Kim Fields, oh shit. But then she came and it was like, oh, you're being Kim Fields, the legendary actress. You're not being Kim Fields, just regular down-home black woman.
Well, didn't all the women think that her husband was gay?
Listen, women try that shit and it really pisses me off on that show, which is one of the reasons why I have very mixed feelings about the Real Housewives of Atlanta because, you know, me being Housewives HR, people think... that because I am an obvious person of color, because I don't show my face very often.
I'm glad you're showing me yours now.
Well, I do what I can. Yes. Well, I mean, you know. But people think that I'm going to automatically never say anything bad about the Housewives of Color. And the Housewives of Color are just as... Well, not just as. I ain't gonna say all that. But they have very problematic tendencies that go on within their franchises as well. Mm-hmm. Potomac and Atlanta. Love them down, mind you. Love them down. I love these shows to death. Don't get me wrong. I ain't gonna say I'm watching. That would be a lie because I do a podcast 5 days a week and I have an 8-year-old daughter. I need to sleep. Sorry.
You're busy.
But I am busy. I'm sorry. I have things to do. Like, be beautiful. But
yes.
They have their issues, just like every other show. And I try to elaborate on that, like, about how Atlanta has a history. They have a history of utilizing a homosexuality as a negative, right?
Yes, yes.
Orange County has a bad history of that, too, because Tamra got that shit via Vicky. But they have their problems down to Atlanta, like, with Kenya... always trying to pin somebody as being aggressive and they have a whole lot of contradictory behavior that is black women. I don't feel like they should be exhibiting. And then Potomac has an entire colorism issue that could be a whole nother hour that I'm not going to waste your time on. Y'all can go listen to my podcast on that.
Okay. Well, speaking of Potomac, what are your thoughts right now of the season? Are you enjoying it? Do you miss the Monique Samuels hair pull felt around the world along with Margaret from Jersey? You know, what are your thoughts for Potomac right now?
I don't miss Monique on Potomac because I like Monique on Love and Marriage DC, one.
Okay.
Two, I have not seen a lot of this season. However,
you're killing my vibe, my love.
Listen,
I'm just kidding.
Doing
I'm
a podcast kidding. 5 days. I am the vibe killer. Like, that was my nickname in college. Okay. Like,
oh, okay.
I was the, cause I, listen, I was the person that would know I'm taking my fuck it drink and say fuck it while I'm taking it, knowing it's about to go bad. Vibe killer. That's all. So when it comes to Potomac, I like this season. However, the whole reacherization for a storylinerization, I'm not here for. Like, listen, they've been doing it for years, right? We've seen it happen. It's not something that's brand new. I'm not going to sit here and act like this is the first time that we've seen a girl reach like, well, I ain't going to go there. Anyway, it's just like Beverly Hills this season, the blatantness of it all.
Yeah.
We blatantly see what's happening. Giselle, care you and your sidetracked wig and your tacky clothes back to Motel Giselle. Have your daughters write you a new storyline and come back next week. Because I'm not here for it. I'm not here for it at all.
You literally, you're giving me like a Karen Huger vibe. Because I feel like Karen would say all of those things.
Well, I'm 31 and I project myself like I'm 55. So.
I dig it.
It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, Karen, how old is she? She's close to 60, isn't she? Or is she 60?
I think she's closer to 60 than she is to 50. I'll say that.
Yes. I agree with you on that. Yes, I could totally see Karen saying that about Giselle. Well, what are your thoughts with, you know, obviously the whole Chris DMing? I mean, like you said, they're reaching for the stars.
Ashley with this reach. Y'all will swear this is an S Club 7 concert. Like, reach for the stars.
Oh, my God.
Climb S every Club mountain. Higher.
Oh
and
my
find
God.
A new storyline in that deep valley you in. Because I'm sorry, this is just, I'm glad, like, now mind you, I haven't been watching the season, so I don't know where she carried this storyline past the first episode.
Sure.
But I'm glad that when Robin told her, or whoever told her, you know her husband is like the manager at the W, right? Like, he works there.
Yeah, Robin did say that, yep.
He works there. So, like, it's not like he was trying to slide. Like, it was like, yo, come patron my business as a celebrity who is in the area who just happens to be in my friend group.
Right.
That makes 100% sense to me, right?
That's real, for sure.
If she carried it past that conversation, her and her forehead need to sit the fuck down. Period. You need to go figure out why you ain't got no damn divorce attorney and why you ain't got no profits and no assets to go and buy your own damn house for your own LLC for your own damn children. Why have you been on a show for 7 seasons and are at the point of panic attack to the realization that you may have to financially take care of them?
Yes. So, Yins, guys, you can tell Sean's favorite character in the show is Ashley Darby.
You can tell that I'm a big Michael Darby fan, right? Y'all can tell that I am Team Daddy Darby, right? It's very obvious. I am stanning the Darbs.
Damn. Ooh.
Although Dean and Dylan, I would love to babysit them in real life, though.
They're cute, right?
They're the cutest things ever.
They're so
cute. Ever. They're adorable.
Well, you know, I feel like
the best thing Michael Darby has ever done.
Touche. I mean, I don't really have much to say about the Darbster on the male side, to be honest. I tend to go on Ashley's side personally.
Those are the best men in the Darby family, Dylan and Dean.
I 1,000% agree with you for sure. Now, if we go to Robin and Juan, and Robin being concerned about the whole prenup thing with them getting married, even though everyone and their mom, like, they don't think that they're going to get married again because they've been waiting 8 million years, thoughts?
I don't think they're going to get married either, but however, that has nothing to do with my opinion. Why is everybody shocked that she's asking for a prenup? She's the one that lost all their damn money in the first place. Shouldn't she be the first one trying to protect it? Number one. Touché. Second of all, I mean, I'm just saying, she the one that fucked over all their coin in the first place.
Yeah, because it was a friend of hers to invest
the
money,
She the one that got
correct?
Caught up with the best friend swindler. The first damn place. So I would be surprised if she didn't want a prenup. That's number one. But
Juan was so nonchalant about it too, though. He was just like,
well, okay. I mean, Juan was trying not to show out for them cameras, but he did try to slide in that he make more money than her. And that was for his ego, because he know that checkbook don't balance out like that. Let's not even be real. Juan, I'm so glad that Juan Dixon is here right now.
Yes.
But and however, I know that Coppin State ain't paying you what Bravo is paying Robin. Let's just be very clear
about
that.
Did you hear what happened with him?
Yes, God. I just covered it on my sister podcast, Housewives History, with Megan and Sean. That was our HCU news. We picked the hottest story of the week, and we cover it at the top of every episode.
Go listen. Go listen, Yins, guys.
And I will say, I'm glad that you asked me about it, because I have a hot take about Juan on the episode.
Ooh.
I have a very hot take about Juan when it comes to that situation, and I think you guys should listen to that.
Yes, do it after this podcast, but do it.
After this podcast, of course, just hit play next on that podcast and then just finish this one.
Well, we'll have to get into like all the stuff that you're doing too towards the end, but let's move over to, let's go to Salt Lake City. Away in a Lisa Barlow is the new
that
Beyonce. Watch
segue.
Out, honey. Yes. Did you hear my audition? What are your thoughts? I mean, Lisa Barlow is literally going to get a Grammy, maybe even an Oscar.
I am here for Lisa Barlow being the first EGOT housewife or whatever. But I think that I think that Lisa Barlow needs to focus more on getting Vita Tequila nationwide than she needs to be on singing anything, personally. Because, listen, I talk to a lot of people on my podcast, right? Real Reality Realness with Sean Ellis Rogers. But I talked to somebody recently in Utah, and they have trouble getting Vita Tequila in Utah.
Seriously? I'm shocked by that, especially on how much she talks about it on the show.
Listen, truth is stranger than fiction, so I ain't got no reason to lie to you. They have trouble getting Vita Tequila in Utah. So I think she need to be more focused on that tequila and that Reposado and whatever tequila things y'all do, because I don't really drink like that. But whatever they got going on over there, that's where she need to be, because they talking about she over here sucking dick to get it down to the Kroger. So...
But, like, it was also, I mean, think about it. The Utah Jazz.
The Utah Jazz Festival, though?
No, the NBA team. Like, who keeps up with the NBA team Utah Jazz? Come on. They're not the
Lakers. You see, I thought it was a festival. I ain't been watching that show either. See?
The NBA Utah Jazz. No one cares about the Utah Jazz. Sorry, NBA. Only people are caring about the freaking Lakers, the freaking Clippers. I mean, Jesus. Everyone on the East Coast, the Brooklyn Nets.
In the Utah Jazz's defense, people just started liking the Clippers, okay? I grew up in the 90s where you got burned at the stake for liking the Clippers. Like, that was a punchline on sitcoms, that the Clippers were so shitty. So, Utah Jazz, y'all just might have another 10 years hanging
there.
Well,
I mean, listen, I'm just saying, if
but
Kawhi
Vila
Leonard
Tequila ain't
goes...
gonna get you there.
Yeah, that's true. If Kawhi Leonard, if you're listening to me, which I'm pretty sure you're not, but if you go to the Utah Jazz, I will be following your ass. So there's just that, because I'm pretty sure he's still on the Clippers. But, okay, so with all of the Vita Tequila-ness, obviously a big thing right now is the Heather and Whitney, what the fuck, Heather, you're not on my side. No, actually... Yeah, what the fuck, Heather, you're not on my side. Whitney is discovering this, like, childhood trauma, which is very interesting, to be honest, but she feels like Heather is not there for her. I mean, I don't know. I think Whitney, you know, regardless of everything that she went through, I feel very, you know, sorry and sad for her, but I do feel like she's using that a little bit to kind of come after Heather. Could I be wrong on that? Maybe.
All of that sounds confusing for me. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Because if somebody is not being there in the way that you feel that they need to be there for you, then you need to ask that person, do they have the capacity and the bandwidth to be there for you in the way that they need you to be there? Because some people just can't give you what you need. One. Some people just can't give you what you need. sometimes you just need to find somebody else that can facilitate that type of support for you, right?
Sure.
Sometimes you just need to call a damn hotline. Mm-hmm. Like, just period. Or a therapist. My morbid ass. Call a therapist.
Hey, I have a therapist. Shout out to her. What's up? Yeah.
I would rather you call a therapist than a hotline. But then it's like,
I know, it's a lot.
Where is this coming from?
What, with Whitney?
Where is this breakdown coming from? Because it's like, how do you expect?
Yeah.
And this is just me playing devil's advocate for all sides. I am team no one in this because I ain't been watching the damn show. I'm just taking the context clues that you're giving me, being a Virgo, and just having some deductive reasoning, right?
Okay.
If you are just discovering your own trauma.
Right.
I would imagine that you do not understand how to process that for yourself. Therefore,
for sure,
how can you expect someone from the outside looking in who I'm going to give the defense of probably not understanding what rediscovering suppressed trauma even is?
I agree. Yeah.
Coupled with being on a reality show, it's gonna look like, or somebody on Twitter is gonna read that as, you're pulling some shit for a storyline. Right? There's already gonna be a level of defense put against that because of the environment that you're presenting this newfound information, even if it's something as heavy as trauma.
Right.
If you don't understand that, how to deal with that for yourself, how can you understand or expect somebody else in all of the circumstances that come with that to understand how to facilitate support for you in that situation? Long story short, how do you expect somebody to be there for some shit that you don't even understand?
I feel like you need to be my therapist.
Listen, I don't know if you want me to curse at you like this. I'm sorry. I didn't even ask if I can curse on your show. I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh, fuck it. Yes, of course. Fuck. You're Robin
Dixon. I
don't
give a fuck.
I'll
bleep it myself because I can edit. I'll bleep it. I'm sorry. My bad.
No, I mean, look, this is all explicit if you want it to be, honey. I'm just saying.
Nice.
I'll go for it.
I don't even think about that on my show. People, like, I've been doing this show for just, like, nearly 2 months. And people just started asking me, can I curse on my show? And I was like, I didn't even think about that. Because I curse so regularly. I'm like, oh, well, it's my damn podcast. I can do what the fuck I want to do, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
So go for it. But yeah, like, I don't understand how you can expect somebody to understand initially just off the rip how to be there for you when you don't even understand the trauma that you're resurfacing that you didn't even remember that you had.
Yeah, and it's heavy. It's heavy as fuck.
And it's heavy trauma, right?
Yeah.
So the weight of the trauma that you're rediscovering, the complexity of the situation that it's being presented in, and the, I ain't gonna say oddity, but the tenderness of the situation surrounding it being that it's resuppressed trauma that's being brought out on a reality show. It's like, how do you, like...
Right. How do you navigate it?
That's all I'm saying. How do you navigate that?
I'm sure.
Now, if you fucked around and you figured that out and then you facilitated that information to Heather and then she wasn't there for you because she just chose to take that information and wipe her ass with it, that's fine. Then you can be upset.
Right.
But
right.
Based on the context clues I have,
it's
that's
so
where I'm at. Because that's fresh shit. Like, I feel like you need to go work that out for your damn self. You need to go figure out how to explain that to somebody else to even ask them for support.
Well, I mean, she's trying to do the healing thing with the rocks and the, Reiki.
She's doing crystals and all of that.
If any of y'all do that, you do you. I don't really get it.
Shout out to Spencer Pratt.
Yeah, I'm sure he has his own line with
Pratt Daddy
still
Crystals.
Married to Heidi? Yeah, yep. Okay, there we go.
Pratt
but,
Daddy Crystals.
I don't
free plug,
know.
They're still married. Sorry, the Hills reboot ended.
That's
shout
why
out
we
to Natasha
Jersey
Bedingfield.
Shore. Just kidding. Yes. Feel the rhythm. Okay, so I didn't even think of this. Where are you in the geography world?
I'm the place where everybody pulls as an example when they want to explain someplace extremely country and southern. I'm in Alabama.
Ooh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been.
I've never heard it described as beautiful, but that's great for you. I'm glad you think
no?
that.
Are you from Alabama originally?
No, I'm from North Carolina.
Oh, what brought you over to Alabama? Or is it over? Yeah, it's over.
It's over.
Don't ask.
A little bit of under. Yes. Depends on how you drive.
What brought you there?
My husband, actually.
I love it. Is he from Alabama?
He is from here, born and raised. Bless his heart.
Oh, my God. As Lisa Barlow would say, I love that. Love that.
I love that. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's back on the Salt Lake City train.
Mm-hmm.
Jen Shaw this season. Are you,
Jennifer Shaw.
Yes, I'm enjoying her this season. I am.
Listen, criminal history aside,
right.
I love Jennifer Shaw.
Me too.
Outside of her being a fabulous felon, I love Jennifer Shaw.
That should be a hashtag.
Listen.
Fabulous felon.
Patent pending, trademark pending. Give me 10% and you can have it. Now.
Yes. Well, she needs it, though.
I'll put it on your
books.
Just
saying.
Anyway, I just feel like.
I know it's a lot.
No, it's not. It's really not. Here's the thing. People have such a big issue with Jen Shaw and the way that she's being treated versus the way that Erica Jane is being treated. And the difference is very simple. People are making a math problem where there isn't one. Katie Herring said it best. The limit does not exist. But the issue is that Jennifer Shaw is a likable television personality.
She is.
Ever since this shit broke out with Erica Jane and Tom Girardi and the Keese and the Kush and the whoever else,
yes.
She has not been likable on the show at all.
Yeah, I agree.
And then on top of that, the reason why you're not likable is directly connected to the legal shit that is also being slandered against your name or plastered against your name. I ain't gonna say a slander, but plastered against your name.
And those damn earrings.
And those damn earrings. $750,000, now $1.4 million.
Yes.
Adjusted for inflation.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
We're on appeal.
Oh, man.
For legal reasons.
Yeah. And then Andy was like, okay, but we're like saying the same thing.
We're on appeal for legal reasons.
Okay. That was a great scene, by the way.
That was the best thing she's done all the past two seasons. That was the best thing she's done the past two seasons. That was the first time that she did anything and I just laughed. I was like, that shit is hilarious. I've been
and
waiting
like
for a reason
raw
to use
too.
That.
Like, I think Andy was like...
Everyone was like... What you mean? You want to appeal for what? To do what? To get what? Like, we're on appeal for legal reasons.
For legal reasons. Oh my God, that was so classic. It was so classic.
I have been
classic.
Waiting for a reason to use that ever since she said that. And you gave me it today. Thank
oh
you.
Oh my God, I'm so,
much.
Glad.
I have Yay. Not had a reason to say, like, well, I've had plenty of reasons, but I just keep forgetting. But since you brought it up, I was like, yes.
I'm so glad that you did it here.
Thank you,
you
so much.
You do it
much.
So well.
I
for
need
legal
it.
Reasons.
We're on appeal for legal reasons. Like, I don't do impressions, but when they hit, they hit. That
they really
was
do.
Gold.
Good as gold, Sheena Shea.
Gold. Yeah,
that's
good as gold.
Ooh, you know what? Since we're kind of talking about, you know, what's going on currently, let's just get on with Bravo and you, okay?
Speaking of Marina Del Rey.
Yes. What are your top three Bravo shows? Would Beverly Hills be one of them?
So you do stand-up.
Top three.
Okay, listen.
I could be like a Hannah Burner. Oh my God.
I could, you know, listen, the girls do their thing. I'm more of a Paul Mooney type. If I did stand up, I would be more like a Dick Gregory, Paul Mooney type of stand up comedian. Ooh. Not for everybody. So,
right.
Make
like
your money where you can, girl.
She's
I
an
love
amazing
Chelsea.
Bitch.
I love Chelsea.
Great.
Yeah.
I read all of her books. Just saying.
I live for every time she posts a Skims ad now. It's just nostalgia to the Chelsea Lately days. Like, it just warms my heart.
I know. God, that shit was great. But anyways, top three Bravo shows.
Top three shows. If you want to talk current shows, do they all have to be current shows?
Whatever show you're thinking.
Okay. Anything. Married to Medicine.
Okay.
Is the classic. Like, that is probably the best show on Bravo right now, in my opinion. But that is me saying that, and I don't watch every show on Bravo. So that's a very biased opinion. I'll admit that.
I do like the fact that one of the husbands did, like, his little rap game at the end of the reunion. You saw a lot
like
of memes and shit.
I don't like that.
Oh, my God,
I
it was
rap
hysterical.
In real life. I don't like that because I rap in real life.
He offended you.
I'm offended. It was cultural appropriate. No, I'm playing. But... no, I'm joking. But...
Oh, my God.
As somebody who writes raps in real life in my Nicki Minaj voice...
Yes.
I just don't stay in your lane.
Yes.
You do what you do. You go save
it
lives.
Hit in a wrong way, not in a good way. Okay.
You go put your white coat on, okay, Daddy? Well, not Daddy,
all right,
but
so,
Scott.
So Married to Medicine is one. All right.
Married to Medicine is one. Current shows. Candy and the Gang is two.
Thank you.
Candy and the Gang is two.
Love it. I love Brian.
I love Brian. Brian is great. Well, I love Brian's hairstylist specifically because who's ever putting him in those pieces needs an Emmy for hairstyling.
I also love Torin too. I love Torin.
I love Torin and I have a thing for Philip, but that's because of trauma, not because of anything positive.
Philip is pretty hot.
Yes, but he makes me happy in a very kinky kind of way. Philip makes me want to get spanked real bad. Like, Philip makes me want to get flogged real bad.
Shout out to you, Philip.
Yes. And shout out to the flogging community. Shout out to Philip and his boyfriend. I hope y'all are still together. God bless you. And I hope you are flogging him the fuck down, Philip. Anyway, Married to Medicine, Candy and the Gang. And then as far as just Bravo in general, because I can't think of any more current shows, Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's old school.
That is
old
a classic.
I've never seen it, but when you said Kathy Griffin, like old school. I mean,
that
she
is
used
some
to
of
be
the
best
reality
with,
television.
She used to be best friends with Anderson Cooper. She
used to do
the New Year's Eve thing with him.
Yeah, fuck him.
You remember that?
Yeah, fuck him.
You don't like him?
No.
He's best friends with Andy.
Yeah, fuck Andy too, but...
You don't like Andy?
For a lot of reasons.
Oh my God, I feel like that's another episode.
For a lot of reasons. Listen,
okay,
there's a
whole episode
of my podcast that is dedicated to Andy Cohen because there's a little mini series that I do on my show called The Open Letter. And it's when I take an entire show of my podcast and I dedicate it to somebody who I feel like is doing some real problematic shit that I'm sick and fucking tired of.
Okay.
So
Andy's
I've...
one of them.
Andy was one, and the only other one I've done so far is on Crystal Kung Minkoff.
Current with her?
Yeah, she was the first one I did, and then I did Andy Cohen like a week later. So like both of these things happened because of the reunion. So it's that current.
I didn't like what she said about the whole Michael Jackson thing. I'm like, bitch, what the fuck? Michael Jackson.
I covered that
like
in the episode, and that's a big ass reason why I don't like her. Listen, if you want me to kind of get into it without going deep and dark, because I'm...
Little snippet, a preview, so everyone can go listen to it.
Yeah, because my husband's name is Martin. I'm more of a Malcolm type of bitch. So the reason why is because saying stuff like that is problematic in itself.
Yes.
Saying that requesting Michael Jackson music solely based on the fact that he was accused of something, never proven guilty, and in fact acquitted on top of the fact, and then the people who she's referencing in wake of the allegations were people who previously were on the opposite stance years ago and now came out and changed their stance for a documentary. I'm just saying. That is problematic because as a Black person, I know from my own culture, there are so many people who are in prison who have been murdered because of fitting a profile or a stereotype or have been accused of something. Look up Emmett Till. Everybody listening to this podcast right now, look up Emmett Till and that story and you'll understand why Crystal Kung Minkoff saying that is problematic.
What's sad is like some people don't know. who Emmett Till was.
Right. And I want you to go look up the real story before they put out the movie on it in about 2 or 3 years, where they have some light-skinned dude doing a very dramatized version of the story. Go and look up the real shit, because that person was killed.
Yeah.
And listen, just go look up the story. Anyway. Yeah. But because of that and things like that.
Right.
And if you want to make it more relatable to Bravo, based on the logic that Crystal Kung Minkoff says, Candy Burris should have been canceled based on what Phaedra did in season 9. Oh. Think about that. Based on what Crystal said, Candy's career should be over because of what Phaedra and Portia did.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Go listen to the episode. Dude. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. That's like, shit, man. That's some, I need to, after this.
Housewives Human Resources.
I'm
going
to go listen to the
episode.
That's
all I'm saying.
Shit. Yeah, man. That's some intense stuff. And it definitely makes points across of what you're implying and all that kind of shit. That's deep. Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Now.
No.
Now, in me saying that, there are moments in the episode where I do defend Crystal. So it's not just a complete bashing session. But I will say there are moments where I have been a staunch defender of Crystal, and those moments will be covered in the episode. However, I do feel there were moments where she overshadowed the moments where we stood by her because of shit that she said later on to try to conflate things that were completely separate as the same.
Well, people say, too, it's her generation, you know, because obviously she's younger than all the other women.
I'm a millennial.
I feel like that's an excuse, though.
I'm a millennial, and I'm making this point.
Right. No, right. I mean, I'm with you on that.
That's all I'm saying.
Both millennials.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. 1991, babe. So, like,
1987, but that's okay.
So, like, we are primed. Like, we are the originators of the millennial generation. Like, we are first-term millennials. Right? Like, facts. I feel like millennials end at 1991. That's why I always say 1991 and done.
Yeah.
Because everybody after that, I don't know what kind of millennials y'all are. But...
aren't they like Gen X or something?
They're like right next to Gen Z. So it's kind of, so it's like how like you have signs of the astrological sign that's right before yours because it's so close to your birthday. That. But I say all of that to say, there have been moments where I've defended Crystal. However, I just feel like there are moments where she conflates two things that are completely separate as being the same. And then it takes the focus away from what we really should be talking about. And
it focuses on
the bullshit you're talking about and how you're saying two completely different things. And you're saying things that appear to come off contradictory. That's all I'm saying.
So I'm with you on that. Now, since we're on... I mean, obviously, we're still on Housewives.
Of course.
Which housewife do you relate to the most? Alrighty-ins, guys. That was part one of my pod hang with the fine Sean Ellis Rogers from Real Reality Realness. Make sure, Yins guys, you check out his shit, because it's amazing. And also, I don't even know how he can do all of this stuff within, like, a whole week's time. I mean, he has, like, 8 million shows. Like, he's just working mad. I need to fucking, like, pick up my pace. But in the meantime, Yins guys, thank you so much for listening. Please follow your bitch at Bravo Yinzer. Yinzer spelled Y-I-N-Z-E-R. And please follow us at Believe Network. And of course, follow us at Believe Lifestyle. That's Believe, B-L-E-A-V. And Yins guys, I will, next Thursday is Thanksgiving. Okay, so if I don't release it on Thanksgiving, I'll probably release it on Wednesday. I guess I'll let Yins guys, wonder about what day. It'll be like a nice little surprise or not. But Yins guys, have a wonderful weekend and I shall catch you next time.
If
you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.